Left to tomato shoot and root responses to drying soils. I know that there are a lot of talks today on grafting, but for those of you who are unfamiliar, a grafted plant is composed of two parts, the scion and the rootstock. And these come from two different plants. The scion is going to be one that produces a fruit to meet a market demand, but traditionally susceptible to some soil-borne pathogen. The rootstock is going to be a different plant that contains some form of resistance to that pathogen. And through grafting, we can physically combine these two together to create a single plant that produces the fruit to meet our demand while it's also resistant to that pathogen. Now, the main driver for the use of grafted plants in the United States has been this disease resistance, but there is more research coming out indicating that rootstocks have the added ability of either improving soil resource use efficiency or abiotic stress tolerance. And it's really in this area that our lab focused our research. We want to ask, how are these rootstocks able to improve water use efficiency or improve tolerance to cold soils? And the way that we did that was that we really focused on the root system itself and looked at the root system morphology. Now, the reason we focus on root system morphology is that there's a set of traits or phenotypes in the root system morphology of numerous crops, and these traits either improve the resource use efficiency or can help better adapt to abiotic stress. And I'd like to go over these very briefly because they're going to come up in the results from this study and in the next. So the first one is total root length. Imagine you take all the roots in a root system and line them up single file and then measure them. That's your total root length. And what's been shown is that crops that have a longer total root length are better able to adapt to low phosphorus, drought, or reduced irrigation, as well as suboptimal temperatures. This figure comes from a study working with rice. Basically, what they were able to show is that when expressing a gene specifically associated with increasing total root length, they can improve the overall water use efficiency of the crop. The next metric is average root diameter. And it's important to realize that not all roots function the same within a root system. So those roots with a much thinner diameter, around half a millimeter or so, have a much higher absorptance capacity. These are the roots that are utilized for the absorption of water and nutrients. As roots get thicker, they're used more for transport. You can think of them as conduits for this water and nutrients being absorbed. Now, what's been shown is that when looking at two plants, one with a very thick average root diameter and one with a very thin average root diameter, the thinner average root diameter, or I should say, the thinner average root diameter confers a higher rate of root hydraulic conductance. That is, the movement of water and solutes from the roots up into the shoot. And this has been shown to be beneficial under situations of limited water, salinity, low phosphorus, and potentially cold stress. And I'll get into that in the next talk. The final metric I want to discuss today is diameter class length. And this is really just a means of combining both length and diameter data. So the way we calculate it is we take the total length of roots of a given diameter. So in our research, we work in diameter classes of half a millimeter. So diameter class length 1 will be the total length of roots with diameters less than half a millimeter, these very high absorptive capacity roots. Diameter class length 2, then, is the total length of roots with a diameter between half a millimeter and 1 millimeter, and so on. Now, with this, we can also calculate what's called relative diameter class length. It's just a proportion. So we divide our diameter class length by our total root length. And this gives us the proportion of our total root length composed of a specific diameter. And similar to average root diameter, what's been shown is that those crops that either have a higher proportion of their root system composed of these DCL1 roots or are able to adapt under stress to favor more of these DCL1 roots are better able to either utilize resources or adapt under stress. So with all this information, one of the first studies we conducted was a screen of 17 commercially available rootstocks looking at these different root morphological metrics. And what we found overall was that there's a lot of variety in the root systems of these rootstocks. That is to say, not all tomato rootstocks have the same root system. Okay? And so the next study we conducted was an on-farm high tunnel study in which we looked at water use efficiency and production of tomatoes grafted onto rootstocks of differing root system morphologies. So we used Beaufort and Shield. These two had very different root systems from that prior study. And we used Cherokee Purple, which is an heirloom cultivar for our scion, and our non-grafted control. This was an on-farm study. And as I said, it was done under high tunnel so that we can really control the amount of water applied. Now, we had two different irrigation regimes in this study. We used the grower norm, and then we cut that in half for a reduced treatment. And what we found was that when using Beaufort, we can almost triple the irrigation water use efficiency at this reduced irrigation. That is, triple the amount of fruit produced per gallon of water applied. We also found that at this reduced irrigation, the Beaufort grafted plants yielded almost 90% more fruit than the non-grafted Cherokee Purple, receiving twice as much irrigation. So the study that I'll be discussing today was really trying to delve a little bit deeper into what's allowing Beaufort to maintain these higher yields. So the overall objectives were to compare both root and shoot morphological and physiological responses to drying soils. It was a greenhouse study. We used the same treatments from our on-farm study. However, we did use a Cherokee Purple self-grafted as our control. Now, we utilized a substrate of turfus and sand. This media we used in the original screening of the rootstocks because it allows us to grow the rootstocks out in a solid substrate, but at the same time, in a relatively high-throughput fashion, we can harvest and clean the roots, but still maintain a high degree of sensitivity for scanning and analysis using WinRhizo. So before the study started, we saturated the pots, made sure that they were in container capacity, and then took the container capacity weight. This is Rebecca, one of our undergraduate research assistants. So we had our three rootstocks and two irrigation treatments. Now, we transplanted into the media, and we watered them all the same for 1 week, just so that the plants got acclimated. After that 1 week, we then started the study. So we had our two irrigation treatments. The normal, we would weigh the pots in the morning and the afternoon, and each morning we would add just enough water to bring it back up to container capacity. With our reduced, we simply withheld all water for 1 week. And as you'd imagine, by the end of 7 days, we had very, very strong midday wilting. We did two trials. It was a randomized complete block design with five blocks in each trial. Now, the day before we harvested tissue, we used a Licor gas fluorometer to measure stomatal conductance, effective quantum yield of photosystem 2, which can be thought of as the proportion of photons used by photosystem 2, and then net CO2 assimilation rate, which is basically the rate of photosynthesis. The next day, we harvested both our shoot and root tissues. For root, the shoots, we looked at leaf area, specific leaf area, dry weights, and the relative water content of both leaf and stem. And then for the roots, we looked at all of the different metrics that I mentioned prior, and as well as root and shoot ratio, root to shoot ratio. So before I go into the results, these are just some representative images. So this is from our normal irrigation treatment. This was the day before we harvested. Not a lot of difference there. You might say that Beaufort looks like it has slightly larger leaf area, but nothing really dramatic. And these are from our reduced irrigation. And the one thing that really stood out to us was that Beaufort didn't appear to have the same amount of wilting that we saw in the other treatments. Now, to look first at our shoot responses, the one thing I want to point out is we only found one significant rootstock by irrigation interaction, and that was for 5PS2, the effective quantum yield of photosystem 2. We had a very strong irrigation effect, as you probably would imagine, on all these shoot responses. And then for rootstock, we had a strong effect on leaf relative water content, leaf area, specific leaf area, stomatal conductance, and net CO2 assimilation rate. For our root responses, we didn't see any significant interaction, but we did find that the main effect of rootstock was significant for all of the effects. And for today, I'm really going to focus on the rootstock effects. So in the first part, what we're looking at here is leaf area. So on the bottom, we in our x-axis, we've got our normal irrigation and then our reduced irrigation. The blue line is Cherokee Purple on Beaufort rootstock. The red line is Cherokee Purple on Shield rootstock. And the green line is our self-grafted control. Now, I want to point out that while these are the simple effects, the mean separation letters are for our main effects for the rootstock. So, for example, what we see here is that regardless of irrigation, Beaufort had a higher leaf area than Shield, with our self-grafted plants kind of in between. For today, I'm going to skip over specific leaf area. But looking at leaf relative water content, we found that Beaufort had a higher leaf relative water content regardless of irrigation compared to both of the other treatments. Now to look at the photosynthetic responses. Remember, effective quantum yield of photosystem 2 was the only significant interaction. And so what we see is that at normal irrigation, there's no difference among our treatments. But that at the reduced irrigation, while we do see a decline in all of them, that magnitude of decline is not quite as great in Beaufort as it was in the other two treatments. What we also found is that for both stomatal conductance and net CO2 assimilation rate, Beaufort had a higher rate regardless of irrigation compared to the other two treatments. Now, looking at the root responses, we saw some really, really interesting differences. So first, to look at total root length, we saw that Beaufort had much longer roots. And the one thing I want to point out here is that this is in meters. So Beaufort had around 120 meters of roots, a very, very long root system. It also had a very thin average diameter. Its average diameter was the same or similar to Shield, with our self-grafted having a much thicker root system. The final thing I want to discuss today is the relative diameter class length, and specifically relative diameter class length 1. So this is the proportion of our total root length composed of roots with a diameter less than half a millimeter, these high absorptive capacity roots. And what we saw was that Beaufort had a much higher proportion of its root length in these DCL1 roots, about 76% of its root length, compared to 74 in Shield and 69 in Cherokee Purple. Now remember, Beaufort also had a much longer total root length. So if we look at the actual length of these DCL1 roots, what we found was that Beaufort had almost 20 meters more root length in these DCL1 roots. So very long, very thin root system. Now, I know I kind of ran through a lot of those quickly, but the overall conclusion was that Beaufort shows a constitutive, not necessarily a drought-responsive increase in relative water content, at least in the leaves, net CO2 assimilation rate, and stomatal conductance. And when we look at some of the literature, we've seen similar results, especially in this, the fact that there's a constitutive increase. So when using Unifort, and I don't think Unifort's available anymore, some research were able to show that it had an increase in both the vegetative growth and yield regardless of irrigation. In an open field study conducted by Chin Cao's group in Florida, they found that irrigation water use efficiency was increased regardless of the irrigation regime applied when using Beaufort. And finally, in a polyethylene glycol-induced drought study, Beaufort's been shown to improve relative water content. So what do we think is going on? We believe a lot of this has to do with the fact that Beaufort has a much longer and a very thin root system. Having almost 20 meters more of these very, very thin diameter roots could allow it to really mine the soil for as much water and nutrients as possible. With that, I'd like to thank all of my technical assistants as well as funding, and I will go ahead and take any questions. I've got 3 minutes for questions. Yes. Sure. So the question was, do I think that the same type of root system would work well in a very tight type of soil, something that's got, say, a hard pan of sorts or even just like a very hard clay? Honestly, no, I don't think it would. And the reason why is I think with a lot of those soils, it might be more beneficial to have one that was either thicker or that could penetrate deeper into the soil profile. And with these thinner roots, you usually don't get that type of penetration. This type of root system would probably be more beneficial under more friable soils, especially soils where you're applying drip irrigation, where they're getting a regular amount of water. Yes? In what sense? Sure. So the question was in regards to what kind of diversity there is among the rootstock root system morphology. Is that correct? So one thing I'll point out is one of the issues with working with rootstocks, especially tomato rootstocks, is we're not exactly sure what the parentage is and what the parental lineage is. But what we've seen in the first study, the morphological screen, was that you can almost group those rootstocks that are interspecific hybrids with wild relatives in a similar fashion. So, for example, Beaufort, Multifort, Maxifort have very similar root system morphologies, very thin average root diameter, very long roots, and a high percentage in that diameter class length 1 roots, whereas Solanum lycopersicum usually are thicker roots and not quite as long. Yes?
For your measurements, how are you measuring these roots?
Good question. The question was, how do I measure these root traits? So we grow them in this porous media. We harvest the roots and wash them. We then dye them and we scan them. And then with the scan image, we can analyze them using WinRhizo. And it's just a root morphological image analysis software. And so it gives us all of those metrics as far as total length, diameter classes, average diameter, you name it. Any other questions?